The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening and welcome. My name is Andrea, for those of you who don't know me. Tonight I'd like to talk about settling the mind, settling the body. And I'll start with an analogy that I like about how things settle. If you have a glass of water that has a bunch of mud in it that's been all stirred up, if you've scooped out a glass of water from a turbulent stream, the mud is kind of spread throughout the glass of water. So there's been some agitation in the water that's kept this mud stirred up. And one way to let the water clear is simply to let it sit there. And then the mud will settle out of the water slowly over time. So this analogy to me relates to our minds, because the agitation in our minds that we usually walk around with in our minds stirs up reactivity, which clouds our ability to see clearly and to respond skillfully. So the agitation and cloudiness in the mind is kind of like that mud in the water. And that mud in the water will settle if you leave it alone, but if you stick a spoon in it and keep stirring it, that mud is not going to settle. And the way we tend to stir our agitation in our minds is through our thoughts. They're a major source of the agitation in our minds, of the way we stir our reactivity, our cloudiness up through our thinking process. So the movement in practice, in our meditation practice, is to settle our minds, to move this movement towards allowing the mind to settle, and sometimes to actively settle the mind, so that we can see things more clearly, so that we can see things more as they are, instead of through the filter of our agitation and our reactivity. So this settling process is what I'd like to talk about tonight. How we settle our minds. There's kind of two main directions in to this settling process. One is a little more active, and the other is a little more, I don't know if I want to use the word passive so much, but it's more non-resistant. The active form of settling our minds is concentration practice, is choosing something to bring our attention to, like the breath, or like hearing, as we did in the guided meditation, where we keep returning to that over and over again. In this way, we resolve to let go of things that are not that thing that we're choosing to pay attention to. We let go of thoughts. We let go of other body sensations. We let go of emotions and come back just to the breathing over and over and over again. This process of letting go of everything but this one thing usually allows the mind to settle, because we're no longer engaging in those processes that tend to stir things up for us. When I did a concentration practice for a month, at one point I finally realized, oh, I can just let go of this anger. I don't have to deal with this. And it was such a relief, actually, to not have to engage at all with anything other than the metta, which is what I was cultivating the concentration on. Just keep coming back to these metta, this metta practice that I was doing. So we can get to a place where it's relatively easy to let things go. And that's a way that we can choose to settle our mind. We it's kind of like guiding the stream. We're creating the container through which our mind moves. So we're shaping the container through this concentration practice. So this takes some energy. It sometimes can be hard to let go of those thoughts that are pulling at us when there's other things going on. When we're agitated or frustrated or irritated or annoyed, sometimes those thoughts just keep coming back. And no matter how many times we let them go and try to come back to the breath, they just pop right back up. So sometimes this using the concentration practice can be challenging. Basically, the way the concentration practice works is through ignoring the things that stir us up. It's through setting them aside. Not through repression. That's a key. That in this settling of the concentration practice, it really has to be a very gentle, oh, not now, and then come back. Oh, there's this thing, not now, and come back. It can't be a, gotta get rid of you, gotta get rid of this thing, gotta get rid of this thing. That tends to keep us stirred up and agitated. So that kind of skill, it's a skill that we learn over time through working with concentration to gently see something that's come up and realize, oh, that's not what I'm paying attention to. I'm coming back to the breathing. That can take some time to get to that place, to be able to skillfully ignore the things that stir us up. Another way to settle our minds is to do more of that. If you take the glass and just sit it on the counter and leave it alone and just watch the mud settle, we can do something similar with our minds. The way the concentration practice works, I think of more like a centrifuge machine. You know, you put that water with the sediment in it into a machine and spin it around so that the sediment goes out. You're doing something active to the water to separate out the sediment from the water. So it's a kind of an active process. So this other way is more of just not resisting what's happening in the present moment. You just sit there with what is happening and stay with it and watch it, and it will slowly, slowly settle. So this is more of an allowing, a being with. It's experiencing, allowing the experience of the stirred upness without engaging in it. So this is a slower settling process. You know, if you stick the water in the centrifuge machine, it can separate things out pretty quickly. And likewise with concentration, when you get skilled with concentration practice, you can settle your mind pretty quickly. The practice of being with whatever is agitating you and allowing it to settle, it's more organic. It's a slower process, like it is if you stick the water on the counter. It takes a while for that sediment to settle out. One of the benefits to this method of working with settling the mind is that we learn a lot about what we are watching settle. So if it's anger or aversion or irritation or annoyance that's happening in our experience, and we're watching that settle, we learn a lot about that anger, annoyance, irritation, aversion. So this kind of a practice needs patience. And it is supported by knowing that that settling process is a natural process of the mind. That just like putting that water on a counter, if you're not stirring it, the mud settles. If you allow your mind and body to be, to just be, without engaging in reacting to what's happening, it will also settle. That's just the natural way the mind and body goes. It will tend to settle if you're not stirring it up through thinking, through engaging in the emotion that's creating the agitation. So this way of settling is about being with experience. The being with experience that clouds our perception, that clouds or makes things, when we're looking through this kind of agitation and reactivity, we're not seeing things clearly. We're seeing things through a filter of our reactivity. So we pay attention to what is in the way of the settling in this method. We actually turn our attention to the thing that seems to be in the way of the settling. Not to engage in it, but to essentially let it be. Now, the way this works, essentially, you know, when we're in a state of reactivity, often what's happening is that it's some kind of habit or pattern of reactivity that's engaged in the mind. Some kind of habit of thinking and reacting is going on in our minds. And when we're not aware of this pattern, it's continuing in its habitual way, which it means that it's stirring itself up. So if you have a pattern or a habit of frustration, for instance, and the thoughts around frustration, this isn't right, I shouldn't be doing it this way, this should be different. If you're not aware of what's happening, those thoughts and that feeling of frustration are just feeding themselves. They're stirring themselves up. So the settling can't happen as long as the pattern is in charge. As long as the pattern or the habit is kind of running the show. With mindfulness, a different part of our mind comes into play. And it allows the pattern to be there, but without, it is possible to be have the pattern be there without allowing it to continue to do its habitual thing. And a lot of the way to work with this is to let go of the thoughts around these habitual patterns. The thoughts are really what tend to stir us up. So a huge part of this practice of settling in terms of turning our attention to be with the mud. That's what we're doing. We're exploring the mud. Is to let go of the thoughts and just be with the bodily experience. There may be a kind of an energetic experience in the body around the frustration or aversion or the wanting or whatever is stirring us up. Can we just hang out with that energetic experience and not engage with the thoughts? Let go of the thoughts every time you notice you're caught in the thoughts again. That process will allow the settling to happen in a very natural way. And you'll get to learn some things about yourself at the same time. You'll get to learn some about how you react, how you respond, what triggers you. So the Buddha talked about five different things that tend to keep us stirred up, keep our minds cloudy. And the typical name for these five things are the hindrances. But that term, I think, is not so helpful because when we think of a hindrance, we think of something we have to get rid of, like something we have to excise out of ourselves. There's another translation for the term that's usually translated as hindrance, which the Pali term is nivarana. The other translation is covering. And that gives me a little more of a sense of like a veil, a sense of something clouding our experience. And the movement really isn't so much to get rid of the veil as it is to understand it. Really understand how this covering works in our minds. So I'm going to explore these five coverings from this perspective of settling, looking at them through this perspective of the mind settling down and how these qualities tend to agitate our minds. So the first of these five is sense desire. This is wanting things, wanting pleasant things in our experience. And this we may not think of this so much as being an agitation, but actually it agitates us both by pulling us out of the present moment, out of the here and now, in order to search for some pleasure that will happen sometime in the future. That's kind of how sense desire works. It's pulling us out of the here and now to construct something that will hopefully happen in the future. We'll feel that life will be better if we can make this construction and get the thing that we want. But what we're giving up our peace here and now through that process. We're giving up our peace here and now for the possibility of a fleeting moment of some kind of happiness in the future. A little bit of pleasure that might come. So, when sense desire appears in our experience, that's what's happened. Sense desire has appeared. Now the practice isn't to say, okay, go, be gone, sense desire. We can't really do that. It's already here. It's already present in our experience. So the practice is to turn and look at it. Not to resist the sense desire, non-resistance to sense desire, and non-engagement in sense desire, which means that you basically pay attention to what it feels like to want. You turn your attention away from the thing in the environment that you want to fix or change or get, and back to the feeling of, what does it feel like to want? What is that experience? Letting go of the thoughts that tell you over and over again, I've got to have that thing. I've got to have that thing. I'll only be happy if I get that thing. I'll only be happy if I get that thing. Turn back to the experience of the feeling of the wanting, of the sense desire itself. That's the movement of allowing the settling. Just allowing the sense desire to be there, not to act on it, not to stir it up any further, but just to watch it. It will settle. It will pass. As you get familiar with sense desire, you'll start to see the things that put sense desire together and the things that allow it to fall apart. With small sense desires, simple sense desires, often the thing that puts the sense desire together is the presence of the thing, you know, just an image of the thing. For instance, this happened just the other day. For me, I was driving over here, and I stopped at a red light, and there was a Starbucks on the corner. And I saw the Starbucks, and I thought, ooh, a latte, that would be nice. And I felt this kind of real strong urge to have a latte. There was a wanting for that pleasure of having the latte. But I knew, having watched this kind of thing a lot, that as soon as the Starbucks is out of my field of vision, that wanting would go away. So I held in there and just paid attention, hung out with that until I drove past the Starbucks and then forgot about it completely. So we get to watch ourselves. We don't have to just kind of habitually respond to things. Now, this is a tiny little thing, this wanting a latte. It probably wouldn't have been a big deal if I'd stopped at the Starbucks and gotten a latte. But it's a manifestation of a deeper pattern for us, this deeper pattern of just thinking that we can construct happiness in our lives by getting pleasant thing after pleasant thing. Our minds stay agitated through this thinking we can construct our lives to be filled with sense pleasure, hoping actually that we can construct our lives to be filled with sense pleasure. Rarely does it work. So non-resistance to the feeling itself is fine. It's not a problem that sense desire has arisen. It's absolutely not a problem. For me, a lot of what this feels like as I engage with these energies of the hindrances as they come up, it's like this wave of feeling comes up of wanting or of aversion, which I'll talk about in a minute. This wave of feeling comes up, and it's like catching that wave. It's like, oh, there's a wave of wanting. And there's no resistance to that wave. It's kind of just like catching that wave and riding it until it dissipates. There's no need to change it. There's no need to try to stop it. This is the way the natural settling of the mind works. It feels to me like an energetic thing. It's like, at first I notice it and there's a tiny bit of resistance to the feeling of that wanting because it's an unpleasant experience. But then I notice it and it's just like this quarter turn shift, and it's like the mind just meets that energy and just connects with it, and then that energy just dissipates. So the mindfulness, it's just like riding the wave of the energy of desire. You don't have to act on it, but you can't ignore it either. So that's the first of these coverings. The second is ill will, which is kind of the opposite of sense desire in a sense, in that it's about things we want to get rid of from our environment. And we don't like these things, dislike of what's around us. And this agitates us because it feels like we have to get rid of things in order to be happy, get rid of the things in the environment, or that we have to remove ourselves from the situation in order to be happy. So there's this need to change things, this feeling of a need to change the environment when we don't like things. If only I get rid of this thing, then I'd be able to settle down. If only I could get rid of this agitation and anger, then I could settle down. The possibility I'm suggesting here is that the anger itself can be the pathway to the settling itself. If you don't repress the anger and you don't act on it, but you can just be with that energy of the anger, it will itself settle down. Again, letting go of the thoughts around it, around the ill will, letting go of thoughts, he shouldn't have done that, she shouldn't have said that, I don't like that thing, that's got to go. Letting go of those thoughts in favor, again, turning away from the world that you don't, part of the world that you don't like, and turning towards the feeling of the dislike itself. In this way, sense desire and ill will are very similar. They're both based in wanting things to be other than they are. Wanting either to have things we don't have or to get rid of things that we have. And the movement to understand them, to allow them to settle, is very similar. Turning away from the world that we're dissatisfied with in some way to the feeling of dissatisfaction itself. Can we just experience that dissatisfaction without resistance and without acting on it? It can be a challenge, but it is possible. And the more skill that you develop in this area, the more quickly these things settle in our minds. The more quickly we notice them arising and the more quickly they dissipate. It's just waves. It just feels like waves of, oh, there's a wave of desire. Oh, there it goes. Oh, there's a wave of aversion. Oh, there it goes. And the mind comes back down to this more settled place. The third of these coverings is low energy, sleepiness, often called sloth and torpor. This is a kind of a thickness of the mind, a dullness of the mind. Mind is not clear because there's low energy. It feels like the mind is not clear because there's low energy. Often the mind gets agitated and unsettled around this state of dullness and sloth and torpor because it feels like it's not possible to be present when dullness is present. We have this idea or this feeling that when we're dull and sleepy, that it's not even possible to be present. It's not possible to be here for the experiences that we're having. So we resist it. We don't like the feeling of sleepiness when we're trying to be present. If we're not trying to be present, it's not usually a problem. So the interesting thing about dullness is that it doesn't really prevent the mind from being aware. It kind of acts like a fog. You know, if you're driving through a thick fog, you can't see the cars in front of you, and it's probably wise to really slow down. But you can see the fog clearly. The fog is not obscuring the fog. We can really clearly see the fog. And likewise with our mindfulness, when our mind is sleepy or dull, the mind that knows things can know that dullness. It struggles, it gets agitated when it's trying to do something other than see the dullness. If your mind is foggy and you're trying to see through the fog to see something out there, it's going to be agitating because it's hard to do. The mind is not clear to do that. So the non-resistance and the settling around dullness and sleepiness is to simply see if you can be with the energy of dullness. Be with sleepiness, be with fogginess. This is possible. And actually, in my experience, when I turn to that, instead of resisting it, it's very pleasant. If the mind is sleepy and you're resisting sleepiness or trying to use the mind to see something through the sleepiness, you know, if you're driving in the fog and you're trying to see through the fog, you're going to get eye strain. If you can just stand in the fog and be in the fog on the coast and watch it kind of come in and go, and there's no need to go anywhere, it's not a problem. So it's kind of similar with us in our meditation, at least. Now, there are times in our daily lives, like if we're driving, if we're actually driving and we're really sleepy, probably not a good time to just go into the dullness. You might want to pull over to the side of the road. But in our meditation, if we're actually meditating and confronting dullness or sleepiness, there's no problem. Dullness is not a problem in meditation. The only difficulty is if we're trying to pay attention to our breathing while we're dull and foggy. If it's hard, it can be hard to connect with the breathing when the mind is sleepy. But if sleepiness is what's happening, it's usually not very hard for the mind to know sleepiness. If you can just get your mind around that concept, that awareness can know sleepiness. When I turn to that, the experience of sleepiness or dullness is usually not an unpleasant experience. It's the resistance to the sleepiness that makes it unpleasant. The resistance to the dullness that makes it us feel agitated. So if we can just be with the feelings of dullness or sleepiness. In one early retreat, I think it was in the first year of my practice, I finally really learned that it was possible to be aware of sleepiness. To just really touch into that feeling of sleepiness and not resisting it at all. And as I allowed the sleepiness, the body got into a state of very strong pleasantness because the feeling of sleepiness is so pleasant. If you're not fighting it, the feeling of sleepiness is very pleasant. And the mindfulness got so clear, actually, through that sleepiness that I felt it like descend through the whole body. And at some point, I could feel the brain even going into its beginnings of its sleep state. And I could tell right before the body was going to fall forward. I could feel it. I could feel right before the body was going to fall forward. And I could just do a little bit of straightening up of the spine and then there would be a little energy added to the system, and I could do the whole thing over again. And after a little while, that state passed. It's not particularly a problem to be sleepy while you're meditating. I'm sure many of you have had the thought, I can't meditate because I'm sleepy. It's just that you're trying to look at something beyond the sleepiness that makes it so agitating. So the way to settle in the sleepiness is to just notice the sleepiness. And then there are ways to clear things a little bit if you get to that state of just falling asleep. If you are just falling asleep, you can open your eyes, you can stand up, and see if you can just be with the, not resisting. You don't have to fight the feeling of sleepiness. Just use those things as a little bit of energy to the system to support your being able to be with the feeling of sleepiness and dullness. The fourth covering is restlessness. And this is kind of the epitome of this agitation, of the stirring upness. Actually, this restless energy is kind of what underlies a lot of our agitation. It actually can underlie our greed and aversion as well. There's this quality of just gotta do something. And often that energy will latch on to, ooh, gotta get something pleasant, or ooh, gotta get rid of something unpleasant. So this restless energy is the stirring itself, in a way, the thing that stirs us up, stirs up that mud. The body that feels restless often kind of, it's physically unpleasant. The restless body kind of feels like jumping beans under the skin or twitchy muscles or jumpy nerves. The body can feel really uncomfortable. And the mind, when the mind is restless, it can feel like it's just jumping around, unable to stay anywhere in particular. It's like it can't stay on anything at all. I can't focus on the breath. The mind just keeps going off and thinking about all these other things. So with physical restlessness, the way to allow that to settle is really the one of the things that I find helpful in that area is to envision it as if the restless energy in the body has a really big container. It's like giving that muddy water a really big glass, allowing the energy of the restlessness to get as big as the room. Because often it's like, you know, it's like the restless energy in the body is compressed and condensed into the confines of the body. And it feels really agitated in that compressed state. And if you can kind of even have the sense or imagine that you're allowing that energy to get as big as it wants to, it doesn't have to just stay in the body. Having more space for that energy, even just the idea of more space for that energy, can make it more easy to be with so that we're not resisting it. When we're resisting that restless energy, that's keeping it agitated. That's keeping the mud stirred up. So if there's a way that the movement to the settling of this restless energy is to find a way to allow it to be there without resistance. If you can just hang with that energy of restlessness, again, like the mud, it will settle over time. If you're not contracting and tightening, oh, I gotta get rid of this. This is so unpleasant. It's gotta go away. If you're not doing that, which is stirring it up again, it will eventually slow down and settle. So giving it a big container, allowing it to be large, and patience. Patience is so helpful here, knowing that it will eventually settle. The restless mind, the spinning thoughts, the mind just jumping all over the place. Often in that kind of a situation, there's some kind of an emotion underneath those spinning thoughts. The mind that can't settle down, that's just jumping around, often there's some unacknowledged emotion going on underneath. It might be anxiety, remorse, worry. So one helpful thing when the mind is really restless like that is to see to let the mind settle is to see if you can connect with or find, you could just ask yourself, is there an emotion here? Or what else is happening here? What is going on underneath this restless mind? And you might find an emotion there. If you find an emotion, you can connect with the emotion itself. When the emotion is experienced and connected with, often it will release the need to be spinning out so many thoughts. Those kinds of emotions of remorse, of anxiety and worry. Essentially, the thoughts that get generated a lot of the times they're trying to figure out a way out of the feeling. Those thoughts are trying to figure out how to solve the problem so that feeling will go away. And if we instead let go of the thoughts and just acknowledge the feeling, it's almost like just holding a child that's agitated. Just like, oh, okay, can I be with this feeling? Instead of trying to figure out how to fix it or get rid of it. Often that movement allows that feeling to settle, which allows the restless mind to settle. So having the courage to turn towards the feeling. The fifth covering is doubt. This is very much a process of thinking. We doubt ourselves, we doubt teachings, we doubt our practice. This is very much doubt around the meditation itself, doubt around the teachings, doubt around our ability to do the teachings, to do the practice, to do the meditation. It almost always manifests as some kind of thinking. It's a wavering, a vacillation in the mind. The mind can't decide what to do, or it spins logical arguments about why it should be doing something else. The main thing around doubt, to let doubt settle, is just to recognize that it's happening. It's hard sometimes to recognize that doubt is happening. It's a master of disguise. It convinces you completely that you're reflecting wisely or thinking skillfully. It's a very strong trickster, this quality of doubt. So it's really, really helpful to get familiar with the stories that doubt spins. The stories around, I can't do this. Or the stories around, what good are these meditations anyway? Or, what other practice should I be doing right now? How should I be practicing right now? If you find yourself thinking about the practice, your ability to do it, or the teachings, or the teachers, you're probably in a state of doubt. If your thoughts are running around that set of things, try on asking yourself, is this doubt? The way for doubt to settle is very much to acknowledge it, to recognize that it's happening. That's really the movement. If you can just recognize it's happening, it will begin to settle. Partly because so much of doubt is the thoughts. The thoughts themselves are the doubt. And the spinning of those thoughts is the stirring of the doubt. Sometimes doubt does come out of an emotion as well. It comes out of a feeling of vulnerability, a feeling of insecurity, of inadequacy, a fear of failure, a fear of the unknown. So that's another way to look, you know, at those spinning thoughts. At one point on one retreat, I noticed that I was spinning in doubt, and I recognized it was doubt, and I thought, I've got to get rid of this doubt. I've got to get rid of this doubt because I have to get back to my practice. But it kept coming back really strongly. And finally, I was like, well, doubt's happening. I guess what I do is I practice with doubt. I pay attention to doubt itself. What does doubt feel like? When I asked myself that, the feeling of grief arose. Because I felt like I was so disconnected from what was most important to me, which was the being able to engage in the practice. And when I allowed myself to connect with the grief, I felt like I'd basically lost my faith in the practice. That was what the grief was about. I felt like I'd lost my faith. When I allowed myself to feel that, It passed pretty quickly. But I spun in those thoughts of doubt, trying to get rid of it, thinking I had to get rid of it, thinking it was not acceptable, that it was wrong, that it was bad. For quite a while, it might have even been several hours that I spun around in that until I finally realized, doubt's what's happening. Maybe I should practice with doubt. What a revelation. This is that turning towards what's happening. Not trying to ignore non-resistance and non-engagement, not allowing the spinning to continue. Really, this metaphor of this mud in the glass is so apropos that we can, in just being with, allowing our body and mind to just sit there, things will settle. So we allow the settling to happen, and we get to know the unsettled mind in the process. So we allow the settling and we get to know wanting and dissatisfaction. We get to know restlessness and sleepiness and doubt. We really get to know our minds. One way I look at this process of just allowing myself to be with the settling, because I do some retreats where I don't do concentration practice and I strictly do this practice of just meeting whatever's happening and allowing the settling to happen very organically and very naturally. I call this kind of retreat Me 101. You know, it's like you really get to see what happens for you. You get to know yourself really well. You're not short-circuiting your way around all of these difficulties. You're not making an end run around them with concentration. You're going through them. You're settling through them. And there's a powerful understanding that happens as we do that, that really supports our deeper letting go of these habits and patterns, or deeper letting go of these tendencies. So that it's not just in our sitting practice that we can be calm and settled, but in our daily lives. And as we settle, as the mind gets clear, as it gets settled down, we see new possibilities, ways of being that we couldn't imagine when we were seeing through this agitation. When we see through this muddy water, all we can see is cloudiness and maybe a little bit of things on the other side. But when the mind settles and becomes clear, it can see things and know things that you can't even conceive of when you're in that state of agitation. There's a lovely poem that I'm sure many of you have heard that to me really speaks to this. Meeting and allowing whatever comes. The Rumi poem of the guest house. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes in as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, for each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So those are my thoughts on settling, and I thought I'd just see if there's any conversation that might want to happen here around this topic. Yeah, Min.
was really thankful that you spoke about this topic because school started for me, and it just, like, when I meditate, my mind just spins out of control a lot. And I just felt like, oh, I've been sitting here for like 30 minutes and I've been thinking the whole time. So I felt like I wasn't progressing, or I'm meditating badly. And when you spoke about the restlessness, and maybe there's an emotion underneath it, it made me realize, like, I didn't really have that insight to, like, go in there. But I realized there is anxiety about, like, getting things done. And usually my thought patterns are, like, what I need to do and how I can get it done and things like that. So I realized there's a lot of anxiety. And when you talked about, like, holding a child like that, it really made sense to me. So thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the pattern of that restless mind and anxiety is so common. So, yeah, just coming in and, well, it's not a problem. Can I just be with that? Can I just be with that? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Let's sit for the last 4 minutes. Maybe you can play with this, just allowing yourself to settle, whatever there is. So just connecting to your experience here and now. And seeing if you can open to it. There may, in fact, be a little bit of kind of energy in the body from listening to the talk. And no need to fix it or change it or try to settle it. Just allowing whatever energetic experience is there to be there. If it needs space, opening up to the whole room. Allowing the mind to relax in this process. May you enjoy your settling.